kids can go ahead and be dismissed to junior church. Have fun, guys. All right. Last week we started talking about how to build the kingdom here. And we issued a challenge for each of us to reach one more. We looked at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the last words Jesus gave the disciples before he ascended into heaven. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We looked at that Jerusalem challenge, reaching one more. The challenge was to reach one more by summer 2018. And if we did that, if there was 150 people here last week, if we each took up that challenge, we would see 150 new believers in Christ in a year. And we looked at how at Pentecost, 3,000 people came to Christ in one day, which makes 150 in a year. Not sounds so impossible. And so I want to ask you guys this morning, have you taken steps towards reaching that goal this week? And I'm going to keep asking you guys that, not every week, but we got a year to reach a goal. I'm not going to let you forget it. God has it so ingrained that he knows who I am supposed to reach, that my one more invited me to dinner this week. So we're having dinner with the one who he's calling me to reach this week. That's not to give me a pat on the back because I didn't even do anything. God said, I want you to reach him. And here's an opportunity to start. And so I'm even just further challenged to see God wants to see this happen. He's already working and giving opportunities. But the mission doesn't stop just in Jerusalem. It doesn't just stop with the people that are close to us. That is a very vital and important part of the mission that Christ passed on to us, to be his witnesses. But that mission also reaches all the way to the ends of the earth. And in case you couldn't tell from the songs, we're going to be talking a little bit about some mission stuff today, about reaching the ends of the earth. So I want you to pray with me this morning as we invite this challenge into our hearts, as we just open up and say, God, I want you to challenge me today like we did last week. So let's pray. Lord God, we come before you humble this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would challenge us today. That you would help us to take this ends of the earth challenge to heart. That you would ingrain it in us as you have begun to ingrain the Jerusalem challenge. Help us to embrace it, Lord God. Speak to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. I want you to look at this map real quick. I know it's weird. It looks like just your average Google map. But all the little tags on there are the places where the 12 apostles died. And they're pretty spread out, huh? I mean, at least in terms of what they knew the world existed of or consisted of at that point. They were pretty spread out from Jerusalem. Why were they so spread out? Because they took the ends of the earth challenge seriously. And they took it with some urgency. Because this is how far they spread out just within the first era of the church. This is where the men died that Jesus originally gave the mission to. Which means it didn't take them long to spread out and start trying to reach the ends of the earth. And this sense of urgency that they had is also something that I love about our history as the Christian and Missionary Alliance. When A.B. Simpson, the founder of our denomination, left a lucrative pastorate in New York City. He was making good money at a church in New York City. He got a call from God to reach the masses in New York and around the world. And he followed. And prostitutes and longshoremen and homeless and all kinds of different people received the message of reconciliation, that Christ's amazing love was for them too. He established the New York Gospel Tabernacle. Maybe you're familiar with the Gospel Tabernacle. But he established that to bring like-minded people together into an organization that could facilitate outreach ministries, to tell more and more people about this love of Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. He set up the Missionary Training Institute, which is now known as Nyack College, where I graduated from. But it started out as a missionary training institute. He started it to provide training and resources for men and women that God was calling to reach the ends of the earth, to go and proclaim the gospel to the rest of the world. During that time, Simpson's group sent out the first team of missionaries from our denomination to the Congo in 1884. To start spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. Since then, thousands of people have followed God's call to serve throughout both the U.S. and abroad. In 1974, we became an official denomination. But still, at the heart of who we were, and I still pray, the heart of who we are, was reaching people overseas. Overseas missions. Former president of the denomination, L.L. King, said this of the CMA. It was not established as a mission divorced from the normal activity of a church, but a church which had within it the life and function of a mission. The mission came first, and the church grew out of a mission. It's not separate things. The point of the church is to fulfill the mission. And we talked last week that the mission is to build the kingdom here. Whether that's here in our Jerusalem or at the ends of the earth, the mission is the same. And today, the CMA focuses a lot on planting churches, whether it's here in the U.S. or in countries all over. That's the focus. Alliance International Workers, that's what we call them now, for various reasons to do with their safety and their ability to serve. But Alliance International Workers, they minister among the least reached people groups, the people who need to hear about it all over the world. They're planting churches, they're training up national church leaders, and they're providing relief and development in different countries, taking medical and dental care all over the world to places where they can't get it. They're doing all kinds of awesome things for God. And when our denomination started, when these guys started, there was this concept that people around the world were headed towards a Christless eternity because they hadn't heard the gospel yet. And they picked up this sense of urgency. When A.B. Simpson started this denomination, he made missions our middle name. The Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. We need to live up to that middle name, because eternity still hangs in the balance. There's still a lot of people who haven't heard, even here. And I can't live with the idea of untold millions of people going into eternity without ever having heard about Christ. That's a big deal. I'm also glad that we are part of a movement. That's how this denomination started, as a movement, not just as a denomination. It was a movement. And I'm glad that we can be part of a movement that already has a strategy in place. We don't have to invent new ways of spreading the gospel, because we have incredible strategy and amazing international workers already out in the field, doing the work that God has called them to do. This is what the Great Commission Fund is. It funds those missions. It helps pay those people who are out in the field doing what God has called them to do. This mission that God has called them to requires money. A lot of it. I didn't look up the exact numbers to compare, but the Alliance in the United States has less churches than the Alliance in the rest of the world. This is where it started. But the international workers have done such an amazing job planting churches and reaching people that there are now more Alliance churches in the other countries in the world than there are here, which is amazing. But to keep doing that, it requires money. There's a big gap between what we are doing and what we're dreaming about doing as a denomination. We're called to help reach the ends of the earth. We might not be called to go to the ends of the earth. Some people are. Maybe some of you are. To actually physically go to the ends of the earth. But we aren't all called to physically go to the ends of the earth. But there is no question that part of our mission is to help reach the ends of the earth. And how do we do that? By giving, so that those who are called to go can reach more and more people in more places. I know that we have amazing workers out there and a strategy for them to fulfill, a God for them to follow. But the gap between what we're doing and what we're dreaming about doing is basically money. The only thing keeping us from opening more mission fields, well, not the only thing, governments also have to do with it, but the main thing keeping us from opening new mission fields is the finances to send more people. And if the only barrier to making this happen is money, then for goodness sake, let's raise the money. At National Council, President Stumbo shared some slides with us. You can put the first one up. This is the Great Commission Fund income from churches over several decades. And you can see that in the last 10 plus years, the giving hasn't gone up at all. This is across the whole denomination. This isn't our numbers. This is across the denomination. From 2006 to 2016, that bar is exactly the same. And we know expenses went up. Can you go to the next one? What this is taking like the amount that a church gets and the amount of what comes in that goes towards the Great Commission Fund. Across the denomination. Across the denomination, 6.8% of what comes into our churches is going out to the Great Commission Fund. And back in the 80s, it was up at like 18 points, maybe it was in the 90s. I don't know. I wasn't at National Council when this happened, so the date is a little blurry. Pastor Doug would know the exact date on this, but our president at one of the councils, he said, if our number dips below 10% of our income going to Great Commission funds, we need to take our middle name out because we're not fulfilling it. And 20 plus years later, we're at 6.84%. This is across the denomination. And As I look at this plateau, I'm praying, God, how do we break through? How do we fix that? Before I go any further, I want to take a minute and I want to give you guys a little bit of praise. Because I asked Mike Smith, our treasurer, for our numbers this week. And last year, in 2016, 21% of our income went to missions. $58,000 and change. I don't know. I have it in here somewhere. $58,677 went to missions last year. 21% of our income went to missions. About a little less than half of that was directly to the Great Commission Fund. The other 30,000 or so went to various missions projects that we work with. You guys are doing a great job. $58,000 went to missions last year. Almost a quarter of the money that came in went back out to missions to reach the ends of the earth. But we're going to take a flying leap. The Ends of the Earth Challenge is, I want to see us increase our Great Commission Fund giving by 25% in the next year. This challenge was issued at council, and I'm bringing it home. They didn't say, you have to go do this. But if we're going to build the kingdom here, we got to be invested in it. We gave $25,085 to the Great Commission Fund last year. That's a lot of money. That's really cool. But between now and next summer, in 1 year, our goal is $31,400. That's about 25% increase in what we gave to the Great Commission Fund last year. This is a big and bold prayer, but I think it's the best way to take the best news ever to the least reached people. You know, sometimes we need a challenge that will stretch us. Not something that's totally out of reach, that we just, that's ridiculous, we can't do that. We need something to stretch us and to push us forward to the next level. To increase our faith in this big God that we were talking about last week. The one that brought 3,000 people to Christ in one day. He can do it. Last week the challenge was to see 150 people come to Christ in a year. Now the challenge is to see us increase our Great Commission Fund giving by 25% in the next year. That's roughly $6,300 over the course of a year. When I saw that number, I was like, that's doable. We can do that. If all the CMA churches in the denomination, which is a lot of churches, made this commitment, millions of dollars would be released for sending missionaries to the farthest corners of the world and even down the street to reach more and more people. You know, we could start fulfilling those dreams that we could be accomplishing for the gospel. The things that just that money is the barrier keeping us from moving forward to reach more people. It would help us to open up new fields, to help people who have never heard before to hear. And that's good news. To increase the number of people hearing about Christ. There's a few things I want you to remember while you're deciding and praying through what you can give to the Great Commission Fund. First thing I need you to remember is that I'm not talking about reallocating funds that you're giving to the church. I'm not talking about just taking what you were giving over here and just moving it over here so that we can beef up what we're giving to the Great Commission Fund. That's not what I mean. We don't want to see the other ministries that God has called us to suffering. I'm calling you to give extra. And I know that's not an easy thing to do. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider how you can give extra. I'm asking you that instead of spending money on this higher level vacation or on a brand spanking new car or on more new clothes or on coffee at Tim Hortons every day or anything else that isn't going to last an eternity, that you consider giving some of it to something that will never spoil or fade or burn. Something that has an eternal value. The soul of someone else that God wants to see following him. We can give so more people can hear. I mentioned Mark Ashton last week. He's the pastor at Christ Community Church in Omaha, Nebraska. He spoke on Friday night at National Council, General Council, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was probably the most challenging message I've ever heard in my life. And he started out talking about how he didn't have any letters after his name, like all the other guys that were speaking throughout the week with the doctor and all the different stuff. But it was probably the most challenging message I've ever heard. And that's where these two challenges are coming to you. I'm just a little clip from his message on the Ends of the Earth challenge that I would like you to hear. So watch this short video, and then we'll close up.
Friends, I believe that God wants us to do that. I'm inspired by a story of the past that I love to tell. A story about a guy by the name of Don Fairley. Don Fairley was a Christian Missionary Alliance missionary back in the 1930s. And at one point, he went to explore French Equatorial West Africa, a place that we now call Gabon. And he was the first guy to explore and see what the openness to the gospel might be. And as he told the tribal chiefs that there is no guilt in life and no fear in death, this is the power of Christ, they said, "We need this good news. Would you come back and tell us?" And he said, "I'm not sure. I got to go ask my chiefs if I can come back and tell you." And then one of the most dominant chiefs said, "I want you to take my staff." Now, this was no small gift. This was like Pharaoh's rod of power. He gave it to Don Fairley, and he said, "You tell your chiefs that Chief Watanabe said that you need to come back to deliver this good news to us." He said, "And then you bring me back my staff." So Don Fairley took the staff. He went to the CMA headquarters. He talked to the board. It was the middle of the Great Depression, 1933. And they just didn't have money to open up a new mission field. But they told him, "Hey, if you can raise $5,000, we will open up a new mission field in that spot." So Don Fairley went from city to city, gospel tabernacle to gospel tabernacle, raising money, trying to get to $5,000. He got to his second to last stop, and he was up to $2,000. His last stop was the Omaha Gospel Tabernacle. And he came in, and he preached his heart out. Then R.R. Brown got up, and he preached his heart out. And they said, "Guys, we have got to open up this new mission field." And at the end of the message that day, people took their wedding rings off of their hands and they put them in the offering plate. And they took their wristwatches off of their wrists and they put them in the offering plate. And they went back home and they raided their own bank accounts. And they put the money in the offering plate because they loved people they had never met before. Or so much, they were so compelled with the gospel. Leaders, I want to talk to you. The way that we lead matters. When we lead well.
All right, They gave because they cared about people they'd never met before. And they were so compelled by the gospel. As I know there's a temptation there to say, this message isn't for us. Did you see? We're doing so much better than all those other churches. But the challenge isn't to see if you can outgive them. It's to see if you can outgive you. To see if you're willing to let God stretch us as a body. To see if you're willing to put your faith in Him and give a little extra so that more people can hear about Christ. I know there's even the temptation to look at it and say, I already give a lot. I know there's people who don't necessarily support the GCF. This is for them. But it's to let God stretch you. To stretch all of us. To reach the ends of the earth. To build the kingdom here. We might have to give something up. And you're going to have to pray through what that is for you. What can you personally sacrifice so that somebody else can hear the gospel? In your bulletin, there's an insert. It's kind of a trifold thing. It's a faith promise card. You're probably familiar with it. We have them out in the foyer all the time. Did I bring one up here? Yeah. There's some more information in here. Help explain the GCF a little more. There's not much more explaining to do. It funds our missions. It pays our missionaries so that they don't have to spend all their time fundraising. Instead, they can spend their time focusing on telling more people about Christ. Several years ago, because GCF giving was so low, they had to pull 30 missionaries from the field. We can't see that happening. Those are mission fields that still needed to hear about Christ. This year, I was blessed to be a part of the missions rally at National Council, and they prayed for and commissioned 30 new missionaries. Don't quote me on that number, I'm guessing. It's on the rise, but we can do more. So I want you to take this faith promise card, read through it, pray through it, ask God, Lord, how do you want to stretch me? What do you want me to give to the Great Commission Fund in the next year? You can pardon the part that says 2016, 2017 on it. They didn't send us the new ones yet, so we're just going to use them, the old ones. And I know it's unconventional to start this pledging in the middle of the year instead of at the beginning of the year. But what good are we doing if we wait till January to issue this challenge? That's 6 months that less people are hearing about the gospel. So please, pray about this. It says, the faith promise is a financial commitment to give to the Great Commission Fund that you believe God will enable you to fulfill. The faith part comes from relying on God to provide for the promise you believe He's calling you to make. On the little tear-off part, fill in the number of the promise that you think God is going to help you fulfill. If you've never given to the Great Commission Fund before, even just a little bit is more than you were doing before. If you've been giving to the Great Commission Fund, don't put the same number that you've been giving. Put a higher one. Over the next few weeks, stick it in the offering plate. And talk to them beforehand, but You know, if the ushers could have some baskets or something at the back when you're going out. If you're ready to put it in today, put it in today. Just put your name on it, put the date on it, put the amount on it. I'm not going to stand up here and say, this person pledged this much. If they don't, hunt them down. I'm not even going to know what you're pledging. I don't want to know what you're pledging. I just want to know what the total of our pledge is so we have a goal to reach. I want to see the pledges add up to $31,400. Or at least that be the total at the end of the year. Well, midsummer next year, which isn't the end of anything. But please, love people you've never met before. Let the gospel compel you to build the kingdom here. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this challenge. Help us to take it to heart. Lord, stretch us. Pull us farther than we would go on our own. Lord God, please put a number on our hearts. Challenge us to give for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.